Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Right now, America is at war with itself, as the Islamo-fascists are at war with the world. And it is spring break, and so the potheads, the communists, the all-around troublemakers have nothing to do except attack Trump in America, and they're rioting right now in Wisconsin. Apparently spring break brings out more than the bumblebees. It brings out the tie-dyes, STDs, etc. We'll have to see where this goes. It seems everyone is against Donald Trump. Everyone seems, in the media at least, government media complex, as I defined it in a 1998 speech before the Commonwealth Club, where I gave a speech entitled Beware the Government Media Complex. Everyone in the government media complex is against Donald Trump, with rare exception. Even people who pose as conservatives. Even people who claim that they're more conservative than now. People who give the equivalent of the communist test. Are you a conservative? Are you a real conservative? Show us your card. Show us your party card. You're not a member of the conservative movement unless you support Ted Cruz. So get out your Bible and your party card and prove that you're a real snake charmer. So today, I was going to talk about these topics. The shooting in the woods of... did you hear about that one? Didn't make it to your local paper? The 20 Muslims with guns in the hills above San Bernardino in one of California's forests who were doing a little target practice while chanting Allahu Akbar. Oh, yeah, it's a big story in California. Well, not really. It wasn't published anywhere. It did hit the L.A. Times this morning, but it's been hush-hushed because, after all, they were chanting Allahu Akbar while firing their weapons. The sheriff's deputies arrived, helicopters, cars, there's pictures. They were arrested, then released. Because, you see, they haven't yet killed Jewish children. And because they haven't blown up a synagogue or a school, they haven't committed a crime. I mean, it says no body bag, there's no crime. In America, you can't be preventively detained. We don't live in Argentina under Pinochet. Even though Pinochet was in Chile, we don't live in Argentina under Pinochet. We don't live there. We don't live in Chile under Pinochet. In fact, we live in the land of Chardonnay, where all is fair in love and war as long as it's anti-Republican and anti-Trump. And I look at Donald Trump and I wonder how much more he can take. Can he beat the world? You, my listener, can Donald Trump take it anymore when those in talk radio have been attacking him for a living and calling themselves conservatives? How is that even possible? I could see disagreeing with him and saying I support another candidate, but to crucify him, excoriate him on every ground, on every political ground there is, and to say he's a phony and call yourself a conservative, it tells you more about them than it does about him. So I was going to talk about that. The Muslims with guns in the forests above San Bernardino arrested and released. I was going to talk about how do we know if the FBI really broke into the Muslim terrorist Apple phone. Maybe Obama forced the FBI to cave into Apple and publish a cover story. Where's the evidence that they actually broke into the San Bernardino terrorist phone? They suddenly withdrew their lawsuit against Apple. Apple is more powerful than the government. Do you know that? Apple and Google and Facebook together are more powerful than the entire world's governments, as far as I can tell. They seem to control the world. That's right, the pockmarked kid in an undershirt has more power than the president does. How do we know the FBI really broke into the terrorist Apple phone? Maybe they just put out a cover story and were told to stop. I don't see any evidence that they really did. So anyway, I have all these other stories I was going to cover, I probably will, including the Breitbart setup of Trump, with that reporter who has been made herself, you know, the reporter who said that Trump's aide attacked her with a little mark on her arm. How do we know her boyfriend didn't put the mark on the arm? I mean, I watched the videotape. You know that story or not? Trump aide charged with misdemeanor battery versus ex-Breitbart reporter. It's a huge story for three reasons. One, because it's a non-story turned into a real story. Two, because the girly reporter has done this before when she worked for the Daily Caller. She claims she was roughed up by the NYPD. She's a maniac, in my opinion. A narcissistic maniac. She makes Megyn Kelly look like Mother Teresa. So I'm sure that Roger Ailes will be calling any moment. I'm sure they got the shoes, they got the Manalos ready in the back room. They got the stylist, they got the makeup artist, they're ready for her. She's now made herself perfect fodder for the Fox News network. But that's a huge story for two reasons. You know why? Because A, Lewandowski, who is, I never met the man, by the way, Donald Trump's media handler, pushed her out of the way because she got next to the candidate. The guy who really should have been doing this was the Secret Service dummy, seen in the picture doing nothing, standing there like a cardboard cutout of Dick Tracy. What is the point of having a Secret Service bodyguard if the guy stands there like a wooden statue when this unknown woman, a so-called Breitbart reporter, runs up to the candidate after he has answered questions and harasses Donald Trump? Tell me what good the Secret Service did. The answer is no good. So, naturally, the press secretary would run in and stop her because he don't know who she is. She could have been a terrorist. She could have stabbed him. She could have shot him. She could have blown herself up. He didn't know who she was. You know, I'm going to tell you something. If I were running Donald Trump's campaign, I would bring action against her for assault, for assaulting a presidential candidate. Frankly, I would turnabout is fair play. She wants to be in the media. She ought to be in the media. She wants to be in the public eye. She ought to be in the public eye. And I would say the Donald Trump campaign has every right to bring a lawsuit against her for assaulting a candidate. Then she'll get what she wants. But that's not what I want to talk about. Donald Trump versus Ted Cruz creates a headache for talk radio hosts. Today's New York Times came out 30 minutes ago. And it's worth reading for a number of reasons. One, because there's a picture of me as the featured host. If it had featured any of the other hosts, I wouldn't talk about it. But A, I don't like this picture of me. I do like the picture of the broadcast studio because I'm actually sitting in that exact studio right now. Although the photograph was taken in 2007 by the Associated Press, it's not my favorite picture. I do look very determined, but I'm in exactly that room. You can see the old monitor on my left. I have the same microphone. Let's see. Different chair. I'm 9 years older, but I look exactly the same, except now I have a ponytail. What? Conservatives with ponytails? That's an interesting story unto itself. But I will talk about that another time. The story itself is worth talking about because it's written very well. It's not that complimentary. I mean, it's a New York Times article. It's written like this. Michael Savage, the radio talk show host in 2007. Long a powerful and potent agitator of right-wing politics, conservative radio hosts are one of the few forces that can sway the opinions of the Trump electorate. And what's interesting about this is that we are called potent agitators. I like that. I find that complimentary because wasn't it old Nancy Pelosi herself last spring who gave a speech at UC Berkeley saying you should all go out there and be disturbers to her left-wing friends? She told all of her left-wingers to go out, you should be disturbers. Well, Nancy ought to give me the key to the city because apparently I'm the most potent disturber in San Francisco right now. And the article reads like this. Even Michael Savage had had enough. That's the past perfect for those of you who forgot grammar. See, if it was on the blog, if it was written by a blogger, it would have been even Michael Savage had enough. But since the reporter actually took English in college, he knows about the past perfect. So he wrote, even Michael Savage had had enough. Remember your high school grammar? We don't use that in talk radio. We use something entirely different. We use graffiti. We use verbal verbal graffiti. Most people in talk radio never went past high school, the hosts, so they use graffiti. As the insults and innuendos over candidates' wives and tabloid reports of suspected affairs dominated the back and forth between Senator Ted Cruz and Donald J. Trump, Mr. Savage, one of the country's most popular conservative radio hosts, thank you, and an ardent supporter of Mr. Trump, drew a red line last week. You can read it yourself. It's a New York Times article. It's all over the blogosphere. And then they talk about the Inquirer story and said what I said on Friday. It says, but by Monday, Mr. Trump and Mr. S reconciled in a mostly fawning interview with no apology from Mr. Trump, who nevertheless called the Inquirer's allegation that Cruz had affairs garbage. The momentary rupture, however brief, was emblematic. As the fractures in the Republican Party grow deeper by the day over the candidacy of Mr. Trump, conservative talk radio is having its own identity crisis. That's very well put. That's 100% right. Long a powerful and potent agitator of right-wing politics, conservative radio hosts are one of the few forces that can sway the opinions of the Trump electorate. And with Mr. T and Mr. C now tearing each other and the party apart, the biggest names in the field are delicately navigating how to address Mr. T's latest provocations without alienating listeners. Then they quote someone I never heard of. Doug Hay, a Republican strategist who worked for Eric Cantor. He's quite relevant. He's very relevant. I mean, Eric Cantor was thrown out on his toupee. But nevertheless, he's a theorist about what we do. They don't know anything. These people know nothing, which is why they were fired. The rest of the article reads like this. Conservative talk radio is just as divided and conflicted on Mr. T as the Republican electorate. Some advocate, some criticize, and some try to stay neutral, but that is no longer easy. I don't know. He talks about another host who's been around forever. I don't know him. I don't listen to him. Then they talk about the man with hemorrhoids who has gone completely crazy. The lunatic. The Bible banger. The maniac. He has gone crazy. In my opinion, the man belongs in Creedmoor State Hospital. But apparently, there are people who still believe in it, the nut. Who says, no Christian says I want that guy. That guy is the guy for me, said Mr. Nut. Nobody. No Christian should vote for Trump, according to the nut. And I say, I call him a nut because he's crazy. There's no question in my mind that any man who does things like this and gets on his knees on a stage and says, Jesus says you must vote for someone is crazy. And it goes on. It's well written, and it's about the fractures. But Mr. Trump's candidacy forced a realignment. Mr. Savage routinely has Mr. Trump on his show and decries Cruz as an insider, which is 100% true. Who can argue with me that Cruz is not an insider? I think that's a very fair analysis by me. The reporter quoted me by saying Cruz is an insider. How could you not say Cruz is an insider? He's a senator, for God's sakes. I thought this election was about voting for someone who's outside politics. So the reporter says he sees Mr. T as galvanizing disaffected voters who have both powered his strong ratings for decades and have been ignored by previous Republican nominees. Quote, Mr. Savage said in an interview, he's speaking to the demographic of the electorate that has been ignored and castigated. That's what I see. And then he quotes another talk show host who's sitting on the fence, who I can't mention by name, who's taken no sides, which is what he's done all of his life. And so another one is sitting on the fence. I'm trying to go down the list. Laura Ingraham, who also said she would not be endorsing a candidate, shared a similar point of view in an interview calling the Stop Trump effort a little juvenile. She said, there are a lot of purists out there who, if they don't get everything checked off on their little bucket list, then they say, take your pail and go home. Come to the real world. She's great. I love Laura. Mr. Hemorrhoid, however, sees it differently, calling Mr. Trump a clown. Well, is a clown calling another clown a clown, I guess. But there's only one real clown amongst the two clowns calling each other clowns. And that's the clown who gets on his hands and knees and says, praise Jesus, and don't vote for Donald Trump. Another political analyst says the rule of talk radio is always don't get ahead of your listener. Who is this guy? Oh, I see. A former communications director for the Cruz campaign, who we picked from MSNBC. I have to take a break. I'll be back. I'm quoting from the New York Times article about the power of talk radio, returning in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUICO. As the Greek philosopher wrote, It is good to live in interesting times, and I'm very much happy to be living in the most interesting time of my life. I've done an awful lot of things. Some of the most interesting things I've done, you don't know anything about, as when I was an ethnobotanical plant collector in the most remote islands on Earth. No one remembers that. My plant collections are in 7 herbaria around the world. But I'm not known in the world of science. I am known in the world of talk radio. And today the New York Times wrote an interesting article, Donald Trump versus Ted Cruz creates a headache for talk radio hosts, which I've been reading from. And I guess I could just finish it up and ask you a couple of questions. We can move on. The main, I guess the main thrust of the article is exactly what the headline says, which is, how do we in talk radio navigate this current debacle called the primary season? I will repeat that I invited, my producers invited the Cruz people on this show yesterday to give them equal time with Trump, and they didn't even answer. The Cruz people are cowards. Cruz is a coward. Cruz is an insider. Cruz will not face the Savage Nation. Trump is not afraid to face me or you. He's been on the show for years. I've been promised nothing because I've asked for nothing. Why does he come on the show and Cruz doesn't? I had nothing against Cruz to begin with, but the more I've listened to him, the more I doubt him. And the more I doubt him, the more I come to realize he is an insider. He's a senator, for God's sakes. Is Donald Trump a U.S. senator? Has he worked the halls of Congress? Has he established relationships with, what do you call them? I don't even know what you call them anymore. Lobbyists? No, but for Ted Cruz to be where he is as a U.S. senator means he's had to work with Congress and with lobbyists. That's necessarily not a bad thing. Or shall I say, not necessarily a bad thing. But he's worked with lobbyists and senators in order to survive in the U.S. Senator, the U.S. Senate. So that makes him an insider. I mean, by definition, Trump, although he's a rich man, is not a politician, which is why he has popularity amongst the disaffected voter. We want a non-politician in office who has a chance of defeating Hillary Clinton and our worst enemies on the planet. It's that straightforward. What do you think? This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know, we could turn the clock back on talk radio. It's one of the magic, one of the most magical elements of my show is the ability to turn the clock back to a simpler time in America. But don't call me on it because I'm not interested in it at all, truthfully. Why would I care where you were when Percy Faith's song was big? Do I care? Does anyone really care? No one cares. The world is speeding forward. The world's in fast forward except for Hillary Clinton, who's stuck in the past. Why she is a candidate is beyond me. Is she fresh and new? We don't know who she is. We have no idea who this woman is. I don't mind a woman. I've long supported women. I come from women. I'm married to a woman. I have a daughter. I have a granddaughter. But what in the world? How can anyone back this person? I look at her and I say, suddenly it's 1991. Here we are again. Again, the scandals, the stink coming out of the White House, what we need again? You know, I was thinking about it in bed last night. I started to laugh. The dog thought I was crazy. He dialed 911 with his paw. I said, wait a minute. If Hillary wins, that means Bill will be our first lady? It'll be the first time in history that we have a man as first lady. That's great. What do we start calling him? The first man? That's bizarre. We've never had a first man in the White House. How's that going to work out? It's a crazy idea, but there it is. I love how the liberals are pushing, are saying, well, we've had a black man in the White House now. That was a first. Let's make it a first now for a woman. That's really a great campaign idea, isn't it? That because she's a woman, she's somehow superior to any man who's running. That really makes sense. Because she's not a man, we should vote for her. Yeah, okay. This is how smart the liberals have become. Poll, Dem race closest yet. And by the way, the subtext of that one is, she's such a bad candidate that even a used-up street hack like Bernie Sanders, a New York 30s socialist from the get-go, is beating her. How is that even possible? Because she's such a damaged candidate. The reason that the Democrat Party destroyed the only other candidate who was a valid candidate, the former U.S. Navy Secretary, whose name you forgot, guy was great. He was a true conservative Democrat in the, I say, the lineage of JFK. He was a man that even conservatives would have crossed over and voted for. Do you know that? They threw him off the stage because he would have beaten Hillary hands down. Because you don't even know his name. Because I forgot his name, but I liked him. It's the truth. I'm not going to lie to you. What's his name, Robert? Don't just drink water. Save me here. I forget his name. Jim Webb. Thank you very much, Robert. You just earned your gold star of the day. Jim Webb is a conservative Democrat who loves America, who knows that America's military has been gutted by Obama and will be destroyed by Hillary. Jim Webb would have been a much more viable candidate in the Democrat Party than this New York commie Bernie Sanders. But they got rid of him right away. They dismissed him because he was too big a threat. They figured Bernie Sanders was no threat. But she is such damaged goods that even he is beating her. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not that he inherently is more popular because he's going to give away free stuff. It's that she's so unattractive. I've heard liberals say to me, you know, we talk about the election once in a while. I run into some friends I used to know who I wouldn't be caught dead with. But unfortunately, if I run into them in a shopping mall, I have to talk to them. And they bring up the election, and I say, how could you even vote for her? And they say, oh, no, I hate her. That's what I hear. So it's by default they're going to the Schmendrick. The Schmendrick, the Brooklyn Schmendrick. You heard of the Brooklyn Dodgers? He has a new team called the Brooklyn Schmendricks. It hasn't been formed yet, but they're trying to find the old... All right, so look, this is some of this stuff. We're just wrapping away here on the show. And, you know, you're not talking about the big issues. Up all night chanting Allahu Akbar. 17 Middle Eastern men detained after firing off hundreds of rounds in California and then released. America being flooded by Cubans. Still under that stupid policy passed by Ronald Reagan. I think it was Ronald Reagan who passed it, by the way. That, you know, it was the anti-communist era. Which it should still be, but if we were still in the anti-communist era, Obama would be in jail. Everything Obama's doing, by the way, would have been illegal about 30 years ago. It would have been seen as communist infiltration. But in those days, because Cuba was dumping its people out of Cuba, you remember the Mariel Boat invasion? Remember the great Al Pacino movie? What was that movie called? It's still one of my favorite movies, the Scarface. That, but the opening of that movie, under the freeway, how all of the Mariel Boat invasion people were put under a freeway in Miami. And where they went from there, infesting Miami with drugs, kicking off the cocaine wars. It was Fidel who did that to us. So what I'm saying is now all of a sudden we're getting them again, thugs. And the minute they arrive now, they're given, the Cubans are handed cash, food stamps, Social Security by Obama's minions in order to vote Democrat. Why are we still doing that? Well, why are we still allowing Cubans in? Well, what do we need them for? Isn't Ted Cruz enough? Didn't we see enough between him and Rubio? I'm joking. I like the Cuban people. I played Cuban music 100 times on the show, but that doesn't count. The minute you say one word that somehow is, you know, top German journalist admits mainstream media completely fake. We all lie for the CIA. That's on Drudge. What is that about? A German journalist says that the media works for the CIA? Ah, come on. We all lie for the CIA. Who is this nut? Who is that? As Arjun Walia? Oh, Dr. Ulfkott went on public television stating that he was forced to publish the works of intelligence agents under his own name. Also adding that noncompliance with these orders would result in him losing his job. That's amazing. He made an appearance on RT News to share these facts. Yeah, I watch RT News. I find it very refreshing. I like the cheap sets. I like the bad dresses, the ill-fitting suits. It reminds me of American television in the 50s. Very cheap sets. Like any minute, I expect a boom to enter the frame, right? And to hit the host in the mouth. It's so amateur, it's pleasant. That's where Larry King is. He wound up where he started. Larry King is on RT television. I was on it. I enjoyed it. I was on it with my last book, Government Zero. I did a Skype interview. I was a big hit. They offered me a job. I said, not ready yet. Panimaish Paruski? No, Panmaish. American and American German media tries to bring war to the people in Europe to bring war to Russia. This is a point of no return. I'm going, we don't try to bring war to Russia. I'm against that. I like Russia. I like Putin. I don't want a war with Putin. Only Cruz does, a lunatic. See, this is why I don't like Cruz here. Why don't you support Cruz? Trump is the only one who has it right. Well, let's say Trump and Cruz. Trump said, Putin's a good guy. We need him as an ally against Islamofascism. Bingo, 100% right. Cruz is a maniac. Cruz is saying that Putin's the greatest threat to the world. We need to go to war with him. Now, who would vote for a lunatic like that? Now, why would Cruz, allegedly so brilliant, surrounded by those brilliant people in radio and television, why would he be calling for war against Russia at a time like this? The answer is because he's being advised by the same neocon idiots, and I can name every one of them, who got us into Iraq to begin with. They're still out there, only they're not in government. They've been fired. They're in think tanks, little old think tanks, earning very little money, and they're salivating to be back in government again so they can start up wars. Think of the power they'd have then, having your son go and die for their little neocon war. And Cruz, by the way, represents them. You know, there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. You think that I'm just doing this for effect. I have studied both candidates in great detail, and Cruz is a clear and present danger to our survival, in my estimation. You want me to come off the table on that one? I'm a little neutral on Cruz. I'm not so neutral on Cruz. I think he's a very dangerous candidate, specifically because his foreign policy is that of the neocons under George Bush. By the way, in case you don't know it, check it out. See who his advisors are. But, okay, many of you don't want to hear the details. You're Cruzites. I get it. So you're entitled to it. We live in a free country. Trump versus Cruz creates headache for talk radio hosts. Second story. Breitbart reporter's claim leads to assault charge for Trump campaign manager. That's a made-up story by the Breitbart reporter. As a matter of fact, I suggested at the top of the show that the Trump campaign should bring a lawsuit. Charges, Frank, not a lawsuit. Charges against this reporter for assaulting Donald Trump. The problem with that idea is that they'll call Donald Trump a bully if he does it, because all Lewandowski did, if you look at the actual tape, is stop this unknown female from approaching a presidential candidate while Mr. Dumbbell, the Secret Service Dumbbell, stands there like Dick Tracy. Moron stands there. Why? You know, everyone thinks, oh, Secret Service, man. They're the best. Well, they're not the best. The NYPD probably has better bodyguards than the Secret Service. Where'd they get this stiff from? Didn't move a hand. She rushes the crowd, rushes right up to the candidate. So Lewandowski, with his long arm, reaches out and grabs a hand. She could have had a knife, could have had a gun, could have had an explosive vest. How do we know what she had? Why must you assume that he knew who she was? Lewandowski should be given a medal by the U.S. government for protecting the candidate from an unknown female assailant. And I think that they should consider bringing assault charges against her and teach her a good lesson, that she's not above the law. Secondly, Donald Trump had just finished giving a speech. She had every opportunity to ask a question then, but no one called on her. So this maniac narcissist made for Fox News leapt at him. That's another story you're not calling on, because you can't see the video while you're listening to talk radio. That's all. Move on. Nothing to see here. Everyone seems to be attacking Trump. Everyone in the government media complex is against him. Spring break in Wisconsin. The Motley Fools are out there. Tie dyes, marijuana smoke in the air, anti-war, anti-Trump, anti-American, anti-white. There it is. It's all there. All tied together. The loonies funded by George Soros. They have nothing to do during spring break. I guess Miami is too low. Whatever, wherever they go in Florida is off their radar. I never even went to those beaches during spring break. Who goes to those places? Who goes to those beaches? Robert, when you were a kid, did you go to Miami? I mean, beaches in Florida during spring break? I don't know who goes there. I mean, last night I was bored to death. I was watching YouTube videos. Did you ever get sucked into YouTube for fun when you're bored of television? You have nothing to do with your life? Late at night, I went from the history of the Jaguar motor car, because I owned two of them, an XKE in 1970 and an XK150 drophead coupe in 1961, and they're kind of my hobby cars. So I was watching videos on the rebuilding engines, then on the history of Jaguars. Before I knew it, I was watching a show about white trash somewhere in the deep south in a swamp in mud, riding large vehicles off road vehicles with tires that are raised up 20 feet off the ground, going through the mud with everyone cheering. I didn't know what I was. I thought I was from another planet. I saw girls in bikinis rolling in the mud, smoking cigarettes and drinking cans of Bud. I couldn't believe my eyes. I said, people live like this? They roll in mud? They find guys in big trucks with big wheels sexy? I said, wait a minute, what country is this that I'm looking at? It was like called Mud Girls in Okefenokee or something. I don't know where it was. I sent it around to him. It was like an hour long. I couldn't stop watching this thing until I said, I think I'm getting walked. I'm getting sucked into the internet here. What is this? And I said, who do they vote for, these people? Then I said, now imagine if you're a Muslim in America and you hate America to begin with. The only reason you came here is for the freebies and to blow things up. Now you see a video like this. I said, holy God, wow. Interesting having a multi-set of eyes in your head. Very interesting. So you want to take callers? Robert, should I take some callers now? I haven't gotten to the real stories of the day. Daily Caller reporter, that's the same one, videographer, assaulted by NYPD during Occupy protest. That's the same girl, the same maniac. While covering Occupy Wall Street's day of action, Daily Caller reporter, that's the same nut who's claiming Trump's guy assaulted her, was struck by NYPD officers as police try to clear Wall Street of protesters. Could you believe this? This is the same girl who tried to assault Donald Trump, and now, because Breitbart, I think, by what I'm reading, fired some slimy people. Oh, if I could ever tell you stories about who got fired, oh my God, you wouldn't believe his background. Oh, I know who he is. He either quit or was fired because he wanted to back this slimy girl. And to Breitbart's credit, they didn't want to back the slimy girl. So this cretinous guy was either fired or quit. Now he's looking for a job. No one wants to hire him because he worked for someone I know very well who's no longer in business. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. So we're talking about the New York Times article about talk radio and its influence in the campaign. We're asking, can Trump beat the world? No one's interested in the real stuff. Your president goes to Cuba. A bomb goes off in Belgium last week. He won't come home. Doesn't leave the ball game. That's not a story. He goes to South America. He gives a speech to stupid students telling them that there's no difference or little difference between communism and capitalism. Another big lie. Not a report. Now, here's another story you should be paying attention to. The solar gangsters. Drudge just posted a report on a $1.6 billion solar project that Google is putting together with some insiders in the Senate and relatives of the senators in California who are their best friends. $1.6 billion of taxpayer money for the Ivanpah solar thermal plant in California. It's one of the most shocking stories of your life. It's owned by Google, NRG Energy, and BrightSource. Why don't you research NRG Energy and BrightSource and see who owns them? See who's on their board of directors. They received $1.6 billion in loan guarantees from the Department of Energy. Why don't you find out who in Congress has who in these companies that is very close to them in a family way? And you'll find out what corruption is. And then you'll find out why Trump is surging. And you'll find out why America is near a revolution. Because they know that the country is rotten to the core. It's been eaten out by the most greedy people in the history of Congress. When you have senators and congresspeople whose very relatives, and this is not, by the way, an obscure subject, are making fortunes off taxpayer-funded projects like this, you understand why the country is ready for a civil war? Listen to me. This goes much deeper than you may think. And this says it all. Read it.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
There's a lot of shaking going on in the campaign right now. And where I begin is where I begin. This hour I'm going to begin with the fake reporter from Breitbart, claiming she was thrown to the ground. And then when videotape came out, she changed her tune. At the top of my show at the beginning of last hour, I watched the videotape. I'll tell you what I'm talking about in a minute if you don't know. This is an insider story, I guess. I said, why doesn't Trump file charges against this girl for attempted assault and battery. Now, the other question is, why did the Secret Service let this girl get near him? Because if she were a terrorist, she could have stabbed him, shot him, blown him up. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. This girl is out of control. And she's done this before. This girl reporter did it before during the Occupy movement in New York City. The girl reporter claimed the NYPD struck her as they were cleaning the streets of the vermin in the Occupy Wall Street vermin movement. So she's always trying to make herself the story. As you well know, there are sick people out there looking to make a name for themselves. And she seems to be one of them to me. Fine. Okay, it's a busy world, so you got to do what you got to do to get ahead and make yourself seen. Got it. So now, today, the Jupiter, Florida police filed charges against Trump's campaign guy, Lewandowski, when all he did was push this girl away. What just came out is interesting. Can I press charges? Says Donald Trump right after I suggested it. Someone's listening to the show, you know that. Why wouldn't they? Since this is the idea show for talk radio, why wouldn't they listen to the show? Since many of his ideas are exactly my ideas, for whoever created them doesn't matter to me, why wouldn't I support him? Donald Trump asked on his Twitter account just when the Savage Nation show started, right after Savage said it, whether he can press charges against this reporter. And now they're quoting an anonymous Secret Service agent in Trump's security detail claiming that the girl reporter was warned she was too close to the presidential candidate twice. A Secret Service person is claiming that the so-called journalist first made unwanted physical contact with the billionaire-turned-politician. And she was told to stop it. She continued. Then, so right after it happened, no, it's a big story. Listen to me. She writes on her Twitter account, I was jolted backwards. Someone had grabbed me tightly by the arm and yanked me down. I almost fell to the ground, but was able to maintain my balance. Nonetheless, I was shaken. Campaign managers aren't supposed to try to forcefully throw reporters to the ground. That's what the chick said. That's what the chick said, the chick reporter, girl reporter, female reporter, woman reporter. And then she finds out this videotape of the incident, and she immediately changes her tune, changes it to something else. Speaking in addition of anonymity, a member of Trump's Secret Service detail told the DailyMail.com today that the girl reporter touched Trump twice and was warned by agents to stop before the campaign manager Lewandowski pulled her away. She crossed in between agents and our protectee after being told not to, said the agent. The agent should be fired, incidentally. I mean, he's like a useless... What's he telling? What happened? He's telling a story. She crossed in between. You hear? If I had a Secret Service agent like that, I'd ask for another one. If I had a private bodyguard like that, which I don't have, I would fire him. I mean, she violated the field of protection. We didn't know who she was. Some goofy girl in a weird outfit with eyeglasses on. She could have been a terrorist. The goofball could have had a suicide vest on. She could have had a knife. She could have had a gun. Who knows who she is? So the Secret Service failed Donald Trump. Lewandowski did the right thing. But because Florida is so anti-Trump and owned by the Cruz people, the Jupiter police obviously are puppets of the Cruz campaign. They brought charges against Lewandowski today. And I think that Donald Trump is right when he says, can I press charges? Because I suggested it before he tweeted it. That's all. That's what I say. It's talk radio for the thinking person. Apparently, Trump is a thinking person. Now, look, we can't invite Lois Lerner, who did those horrible things at the IRS. We can't indict Hillary, whose loose lips have sunk ships and probably caused the deaths of many secret agents. We can't indict anyone on Wall Street for wrecking the economy. You hear? But Lewandowski is going to jail for battery? It just shows you how corrupt the process really is. She was a whiny little Cruz supporter. She worked for the Cruz campaign. Oh, what's the difference? I understand most of you don't care. It's inside stuff. Trump versus Cruz creates headache for talk radio host, New York Times, big story. Here's one we haven't touched yet. It came out of the right-wing Washington Post this morning. Moderate Muslim was killed by a fundamentalist Muslim in Scotland simply because the nice Muslim in Scotland posted an Easter message to Christian customers. After wishing Christians a happy Easter, a beloved Glasgow shopkeeper is allegedly slain by another Muslim. Could you believe this? The guy is a nice guy. He owns a store in Scotland. Merry Christmas with love to all beloved, my beloved Christian nation, with many X's, and to all beloved mankind with all the best wishes, X. And for that, a Muslim killed him. Found dead lying in a pool of blood in the road near his store, the victim of brutal stabbing. So now you know why moderate Muslims don't turn in the vicious, insane Islamo-fascists amongst them. The 32-year-old man who has been arrested and charged with the murder is Muslim. But the good Muslim are members of the Ahmadiyya community, a Muslim sect that stresses religious tolerance, but is seen as heretics by mainstream fanatical Muslims. See, now, if you want to bring Muslims in, why don't you bring them in from the Ahmadiyya sect, Mr. Obama? What are you bringing them in from the other sect for? Why? You're community organizer. You divide and conquer. Terrible story. Sad. Terrible. Many said, why don't the Muslims tell the FBI in America? See, the big lie from Bill Bratton of the NYPD and the mayor of New York, the big lie is that they have collaborators within the Muslim community who they call, you know, cooperators. They don't. They have none, because nobody would dare be such a person for fear of being slaughtered by the fanatics amongst them. They should know that. They probably do know that. You know, I said, remember last week what I said to you? In the early days of the mafia in America in the 1900s, early 1900s, there was a very deadly organization called the Black Hand. Mainly, let's say Little Italy, Mulberry Street. They ruled the street. If you remember The Godfather, knowing the guy in the white outfit walk around shaking down all the shopkeepers, and he was shot by the Robert De Niro character. Remember that great scene, unbelievable scene. I was in an Italian restaurant the other night. I was shocked. The owner came out. He looked like Robert De Niro in Taxi Driver. I was shocked. I'm just getting a little distracted. It was such an amazing thing. It was a new Italian restaurant in Marin County, California. I went in. On a Sunday, it was never open before. It was open. I sat down. The owner came out to see. He didn't know me. You know, I figured a customer, a new customer. It was like young Robert De Niro in the Taxi Driver. All he needed was the mohawk. But he knew a shrimp boy. He brought out prawns in a marinara sauce like I haven't had since New York. I have no reason to ever travel east again. I was getting nostalgic to go back east and buy an apartment in the famous Jackie Mason line. Now it's too late. Every year I said I should have bought an apartment in Manhattan. Every year was too late, so I stopped buying. I didn't think about it. I have enough property in California. But now I have no reason to go at all. If there's no food reason to go, what's the point of traveling? My mother's dead. She's buried. My father's been dead since 1970. God rest his soul. I don't talk to my relatives who live there. I don't even know who they are. God bless them. I don't even know who they are. I know they're all commies. They got off the boat. The grandfather got off the boat at Ellis Island. They have the same politics as the grandfather. 200 years later. It's not 200 years, maybe 100. Let's see, 1910. No. That's 100 years already. They're still in the same past. They still identify with the unionists like Bernie Sanders. Unbelievable how idiotic they can be. I don't look forward to family events for that reason. I don't go to them. Hey, they don't invite me. They know better. Secondly, I wouldn't go even if they did invite me because I wouldn't want to be around that. Celebrate right now. Listen. That's the most boring thing you could ever do is go to. You remember that when you go to a wedding, like a family wedding, and it's held during the day? You know that they're trying to save money, right? Because they'd want to pay for the night cost. Robert, I know you're getting married. I hope I'm not stepping on a raw nerve here. I hope you're getting a night event. Yeah, good. It's like you go to a family's in the catering hall, and at 11 in the morning, you're supposed to start dancing and singing. You get drunk. Celebrate. And no one wants to do it, but you have to. That's the last event I was at. It was 500 years ago. 11 o'clock in the morning, they were drinking bad liquor and celebrating. How could you do that? The ice mold was melting before they even put it on the dais because it was early in the day. The sun was still out when they hauled it out of the truck. Oh, what fun it is to be alive. The ice cream man cometh. Wall Street exec accused of swindling charity of $95 million. Here we go. Right, here you go. An Upper East Side financier whose philanthropist dad committed suicide. Oh, it's Phil. The whole Upper East Side. What's this one's name? Look at the mouth on him. Andrew Casperson. An Upper East Side financier whose philanthropist dad committed suicide amid fraud allegations was busted for orchestrating an illegal $95 million scheme of his own. Ugh, I could see the face on him. I could see the face in this guy. He's the kind of country club guy I wouldn't... You know the old... Andrew Kasperson, a privileged 39-year-old Harvard Law School grad, knew what else? Where else would he have gone to school? Trenton State? And son of the late billionaire Finn Kasperson, oh, thank God they're not Jewish, was hauled into Manhattan federal court Monday, because no Jew is named Finn. That we know right off the bat. At least it's another religion gets blamed for fraud. It's not a Bernie job. Was hauled into Manhattan federal court Monday to face charges he built a charity out of 25 mil and tried to net another 70 mil from investors. Who gives these people money? What's the charity? I just want to go to see the charity. Oh, unnamed charity. They're afraid of even being named. Oh, my God. Kasperson, who was fired Monday as a partner in the financial services firm PJT Partners Park Hill Group, looked tired and glum as the judge gave him a $5 million bail. He had been grabbed at an airport Saturday. Dressed in a white polo shirt and gray slacks, the Ivy Leaguer refused to comment. Him and his wife own their East 62nd Street co-op, which is worth an estimated $2.3 million. That's nothing. It's chicken feed. $2.3 million. You know what you buy for that in Marin County, California? A converted chicken coop. And also a $1.1 million home in the Westchester County suburb of Bronxville. You know what you buy for $1.1 million in Beverly Hills? Televisions for your mansion. I love these numbers. They don't have anything. They have no meaning anymore. Magda noted that his father was worth $1 billion when he shot himself in the head in 09 on the grounds of the Rhode Island Country Club he helped found. Ooh. Finn, an heir to the Beneficial Corporation fortune, was 67, battling cancer and being investigated for having offshore bank accounts. That's not a funny story. You don't celebrate death. Kasperson pulled in a salary of $3.68 million last year and $4.5 million in 14. Chicken feed. I mean, it's money. It's real money, but it's not real money. It's not big money. It's nothing compared to the Obama donors. He's got the smile of a rich guy, but not the bank account. No wonder he had to rob $95 million in order to keep up with his neighbors. So what would you like to talk? Oh, I know. Wait. That leads to the story I wanted to talk about. He went to Harvard, right? That triggered something. Where's my Harvard story? I was going to cover this today. I was going to cover the Harvard thing. Hold it. I'm still shots fired. 15 men with guns. Message about Ted Cruz. FBI breaks into. Where is the story of Harvard? Oh, my God. Well, there was an article this morning. Hold on. I got to get it. Oh, you're getting good, Robert. As I jump across the very studio you could see in the New York Times picture today. Yeah, I had to leap behind myself. Robert, you're good. When they see me, you see the assistants I have in my studio? None. The only assistant is my dog, and he's asleep. And if I told him to get the Harvard and Yale both total ripoffs story from this morning's Market Watch, he wouldn't have been able to do it because he doesn't have an opposing thumb. He's a dog. If he had an opposing thumb, he'd be a chimpanzee, and he might be able to do it. I want to get a robot to work for me. They can't complain. They never get sick. They can't claim you said anything to them, like call them an idiot. What if you call a robot an idiot? Can they attack you? You see, that's what I'm afraid of in the future, is that if we have these robots working for us and you curse them or something, they're liable to be worse than people. Maybe the robots can attack you while you're sleeping and kill you. You see, that's the problem. Don't assume that a robot at the level of AI that's being developed, you know, wouldn't turn on you in the middle of the night. That's the problem. Don't assume that they're benign. So I'm going to come back and talk about Harvard and Yale total ripoffs. Because many of you think that if your child gets into Harvard that they're assured something in life. They're not assured anything. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. Well, here's some breaking news that's shocking. Open carry petition came from Hillary Clinton supporter. You know about dirty tricks? A man who says he authored a petition to allow open carry of guns at the Republican National Convention says he did it to test the limits of the party's support for the Second Amendment. Now, as you well know, it's attracted a lot of attention. But the man behind the petition is a Democrat who supports Hillary Clinton for president. So now you know what dirty tricks are, and now you know how they're being played. And now you should understand that there are quadrangles and isosceles triangles on the Republican side. And all that appears to be conservative may not be conservative at all. That's all I can say to you. I want to go on to the other topics quickly. Line 6, Dolly, KLIF in Dallas. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I wanted to talk talk to you about a robot cannot harm you because Isaac Asimov wrote the three laws of robotics, a man even smarter than you. And number one, a robot may not injure a human being or through inaction allow a human being to come to harm. So you can yell at him and do anything. He's not going to harm you.
Well, wait, hold it. I'm very, very aware of Isaac Asimov and his great books. But he doesn't control what AI robots will be doing. He was only writing fiction.
Robot, they are going to put these three laws in because they're standard.
You said who's going to put the laws in?
Well,
who is going to tell Google that they have to program robots not to harm humans? Who's going to tell Google anything when Google is bigger than the government?
Well,
Google could create an army to go out and kill Republicans, for all we know. What would stop them? The FBI? The FBI just gave in to Apple and Google and all of the other undershirts. I'm joking. But the truth is, how do you control what a robot does? Who says their intelligence can't overtake what they're programmed to do? That's what I want to know.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Normally I get a lunch delivered during the show, and you can see a change in my energy around now. You won't see any change because the lunch was so horrible I didn't eat it. The salad was old lettuce. You know, I love when they say mixed greens. What does that mean? Mixed garden greens. No, they came from the sewer. Mixed garden greens. I love when they put that on a menu. Stale, horrible, garbage. Packaged greens. Awful. Can you really believe what's going on in this world with Trump versus Cruz? And we're not talking about Obama's crimes, Hillary's crimes, Bernie's communism. Can you believe how stupid the entire right wing is in this country to buy this? It's astounding. We've already forgotten Hillary's about to be indicted by the FBI. Oh, yeah, right. It's the same way Apple was about to be indicted. Yeah, right. Like they have independence. Nah, they caved in. They caved in. Don't be ridiculous. It's an oligarchy run by you-know-who. He just visited Cuba and South America. Two Air Force Ones, not a note of it in the New York Times. But if a Republican drives an 8-cylinder car and he's running for office, he's already a polluter. Muslim hackers infiltrate water control system, chemical mix, change for tap supplies. But I don't read that. It's an isolated event. It's a lone wolf. Not related to any religion. Not related to any following. No. They got the party line written already. So now we're talking about robots now all of a sudden. And I of course I know I'm right. You can program a computer to do anything you want. Here's a man who's calling right now from KLIF in Dallas. John, you work, apparently you work in robotics?
Yes, I've worked with robotics for years. I can build a what you would call a robot to seek out body temperature, and I can arm it with any weapon I choose and set it loose, and it can autonomously track down any kind of body heat emission within the limits I program it, and there is no Asimov's laws dictated by anyone.
Of course not. Asimov was only a science fiction writer. What was she saying that he said robots can't be programmed? Common sense would dictate that you can program a robot, which is nothing but a glorified computer, any way you want. Isn't that true?
Yes, exactly. And there is nobody that's going to say, oh, look, you have to put in these three laws. You have to rewrite this program. That's crap.
Well, I understand the military is developing robotic soldiers. Isn't that true?
Yes. And they already have the four-legged ones that are being built by DARPA right now. And it would be so simple to arm that with sensors that would detect body heat, and you could program the body heat parameters as far as what would detect what size of body you wanted to get.
So why can't you program 1,000 of them and drop them over a Raqqa and have them go out and seek out the terrorists while they're eating in their little houses with their wives and children and program them to kill only those over a certain body weight?
Well, you could.
In other words, what you're just telling me is fascinating. So you could program the robot, the killer robot, and say, okay, only those weighing over 150 pounds. Well, that would exclude children, right?
Well, it would be more like the size signature.
the size signature. Okay, whatever. But you could figure it out pretty good. So why don't we send 10,000 robots into Raqqa right now, you know, at some point, and then get the war over with already?
Well, because we got the wrong administration. I mean, it's not politically correct to do that. It's okay to use the drone because you have a human finger on the button. And that way you can say, well, you know, you can give the blame to whoever said to fire the weapon. But, you know, if you turn a whole bunch of autonomous robots that are armed with whatever you want them to armed with to seek out body heat signatures and just annihilate everything that's over there, well, then now, you know, you talked about, oh, you're making all these murdering robots and, you know, Asimov is going to flip over in his grave because you didn't put the three laws in there.
Well, you see, I didn't read anything about it, but our common sense would dictate that she was wrong and I was right, John. So I'm glad you jumped in. Now, I don't mean to be flippant about it, but I understand that there are robots that they're making for sexual usage. Is that true?
I'm sorry, say that again.
I'm reading reports that they're making robots for sexual interaction with humans. Is that true?
I don't know. I don't get that kinky.
Well, I don't mean you, but I understand that they are making robots that people can buy. I don't know why my producer's shaking. Is that he's about to get married? Please, Robert, I don't understand that. He's clapping. But I've been reading about it. Can you imagine when that day comes, a guy could go order one of those in a store?
Well, you know, they can order everything else now.
Yeah.
But I want everybody to know that, you know, there is no authority anywhere that's going to say, you know, these laws have to be put in there because as...
Absolutely, absolutely. So you work in robotics. What actually do you do?
Well, a little bit of everything.
Okay, you can't say. I get it. How did you start in robotics? Did you start as a computer expert?
No. Actually, it was more like maintenance technician, and then I just worked my way up. And
interesting. Well, okay, I don't want to pry. Obviously, it's a sensitive issue where you work and what you do, and I appreciate you even calling Talk Radio. Thank you. That's a great call. Who would think we'd be talking about that today? It's so much, it's refreshing, frankly, to get off the Trump cruise train. Could you play John Coltrane? No, not John Coltrane. It's the song I wanted to hear, When Love Comes Along, I'm Going to Jump That Train. The great blues singer. Will they ever be able to make a robot who can write jazz? Or certainly you can make a robot to play music, right? That I know for sure. Like the first violinist can be a robot. How would you know the difference? This is a frightening subject for me, I got to tell you. Because I live in a place in the world, in San Francisco, where most of the people look robotic. They act like robots. They function like robots. They're herd animals. They speak in the same exact manner. They all have the same political opinions. And sometimes you think you're living in an alternate universe where you're the last human being, by the way. Do you ever get that feeling? That's a disassociative event for people. You can have a psychotic break on that one. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever been in the streets, walking in the streets of the city that you live in, and think that everyone is a robot but you, or everyone's like a pod person, or from another planet, and you're actually unique and they're not? No one wants to call on that. So I guess I'm the only one who's ever had a near psychotic episode on that one. Okay, whatever. I don't think I am. I just don't think people are willing to call on it. But the truth is, when you think about it, I'm standing here in front of a microphone speaking to an awful lot of people, and I don't even know if you exist. How do I know you exist? How do I know that I'm not imagining this? How do I know that I'm affecting people? Well, I'll tell you how I know. You want to hear how I know? This is a very interesting subject. If I write a book and I tell you about it, you go out and buy that book and it sells a certain number of copies, I know that I exist and I know you exist. Can you believe that that's a feedback? It's one of the few feedback mechanisms we have in talk radio, is what we offer to you. Other than our show itself, I don't do speeches on the road. I used to. I'm not one of those people who run around and get on my knees and praise the Lord and tell you to vote for someone. I don't know how people do that without being seen as madmen, frankly, in this day and age. But to each his own. You know, if that's what they want to do and they have the Jesus complex, God bless them if they get away with it. I don't really have a Jesus complex, so I'm perfectly content to reach my audience through the through the ethers, so to speak. But when you think about it, most of us live in such an isolated world, especially with the use of the internet, which I'm very comfortable with. You know, I don't know why people put it down. I find it to be one of the most satisfying places to go is the computer screen. Oh, I get out. I mean, I walk around. I go to the city. I talk to people. And I have minor interchanges, very controlled interchanges with human beings. I can't say I like them. I don't like going to airports. I get freaked out at any airport I go to. I go to an airport like Oakland Airport, which I do as seldom as I can, and I see the most misshapen people ever created by God. I don't know how they get like that. I don't know how they allow themselves to look like that, like hippopotamuses in human costumes. How do they live like that? Why are women... I don't want to go down the road because I'll be accused of being a misogynist, which I'm not. Why do women with the worst shapes in the world wear exercise pants, whatever they're called, yoga pants? They were not invented for them. The burqa was made for that purpose. I think that over a certain body type, you should be forced to wear a muumuu, at the very least. In other cases, yeah, full facial cover would work too, by the way. Now, the reason they covered their wives in the old days in Arabia was not because they were ugly. It was the opposite, because they were beautiful. They didn't want the other guy to see them. It was to protect them from the other guy. They didn't want to know what Ahmed's wife looked like. He kept it to himself. So he covered her up completely so no one would get jealous. You know, that's what it was all about. It wasn't for modesty. It was to protect him, in essence, his property. He didn't want anyone to see her. He locked her up. And that's one man's opinion. Here we got another AI call. I love this. This is great stuff. We're talking about the arrest of the charges against of Trump's campaign manager. We know it's all political because there's a videotape going around now, which you can see on Drudge, of Hillary Clinton, her Huma Ahmadine girl, pushing a supporter away. It's right there. Flashback. Huma pushes Hillary supporter, no charges filed. So this is truly a political ploy, charging Trump's campaign director with battery on the fake reporter. Shame on her. And as I said at the beginning of the show, he should file charges against her for assault as quickly as possible because the Secret Service failed him. Lewandowski should be given a medal for doing what the Secret Service was supposed to be doing, frankly. This is terrible, this story. It's an awful story. WMAL in Washington, D.C., where the show is king. What's on your mind, John?
Hi. My background is in game theory and the decision sciences in general. And back when I was still involved in academia, I used to be invited by a friend of mine who worked. He put on these workshops at his place in Arlington that were sponsored by something called the Machine Intelligence Research Institute, which is MIRI. Is what they call it, for short. And, you know, I thought it was a really cool thing they were doing. Is essentially looking at the future of robotics. And these are all computer science guys. I was the only, like, philosophy guy there. But that's what it brought me, was for this other perspective. And they would think about the sort of issues that science fiction tells us could arise from machine intelligence, like, for instance, you know, killing their creator. Is the most extreme example, I'd say, and how to philosophically thinking about what sort of programming should go into the back end of these robots in order to prevent those things from happening.
So the guys who are programming robots, AI machines, are trying to build in something that would prevent them from attacking their creator. But you and I both know that intelligence, if it's high enough, will start to become creative. Is that correct?
That's an idea that they used to talk about, yeah. Again, robots.
In other words, if you're going to make a robot intelligent enough to be, let us say, thoughtful, if you want to use that phrase, or able to make decisions, let's put it that way. If you're going to make a robot able to make decisions, and by the way, any robot would have to make decisions. If you're going to get a robot in the house to help you with the dishes, for example, you have to help it make a decision that when it's walking, if it senses something, to not go in that direction, right? To move away from it. So that's a decision, an internal decision made by the robot, correct? So therefore, a robot can make decisions. So if it can make decisions, it can somewhat think. And any artificially created machine that can think will eventually start thinking it wants to think for itself, like a child does. And since it is not human and it is not controlled by ethics, morals, a Bible, or any other such antiquated notion, I believe it's inevitable that robots will turn on man.
Yeah, that is a theory. That's the theory that motivated, I guess, this the Machine Intelligence Research Institute to begin what it is that they're doing.
John, you know what I love? What you just said, were you a philosophy major?
I was a philosophy major. Philosophical logic was my specialty, and I began to apply that to game theory was my main focus.
And where did you get your degree? In what school?
University of Maryland.
In what? In what field? In that field?
In philosophy, and I was
I want to ask an obscure question. The one summer I studied pure philosophy, I had to read Aristotle in mathematical formulae. Do they still do that?
In mathematical,
they translated Aristotle into mathematical formulae rather than words, and we had to read it in mathematics rather than in English words. Do they still teach philosophy that way with pure mathematics?
I think when you say mathematics, and correct me if I'm wrong about assuming what it is that you're trying to say. Are you talking about symbolic logic?
Yes.
It might appear like mathematics to someone who's not.
Yes. It was a course in logic and scientific method. I'll be back in a minute. This is so fascinating. I haven't thought about it in 30 years. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. So we'll have Trump's press conference from just now in the next hour. Right now, one quick caller, 50 seconds. Ron, WABC, fire away.
How do I know I'm not speaking to an artificially intelligent Michael Savage?
It's a great question. A, because I have a hangover from last night's bad wine. B, my dog isn't a robot. As you'll find out next month when the book comes out, Teddy and Me, you'll see that he's... I don't know, you could say it's a robot with fur, actually. You could imply that I'm not real. I'm just saying I have a hangover, that I was programmed to have an immediate answer, right?
Because Michael Savage needed a successor, so he paid somebody to make an artificially intelligent version of himself.
You know, I've been thinking about that. I'd like to be able to be on the air without and take some days off. Maybe if I could figure out a computer program where I just put my voice in, we can, like, Moog synthesize it and stuff and just give it some ideas and let it run a show for a day. That might work. Thanks for the idea. I may never sleep again.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
And yet he appeals to the mass of young and civil servants who see that there's an unfair world. They think that there's ever going to be a fair world. Where is there a fair world? Tell me where the fairest world is. Who is the tooth fairy who will call the show and tell me where the fairest world is? I don't know where it is. Everyone has equality and everyone is happy. Didn't Mao Zedong promise that with the blue uniforms and the red stars? How did that work out? I think there were 60 million who died. Isn't that what he promised was equality in Animal Farm? Joseph Stalin tried the same equality in the Soviet Union. 30 million died. Pol Pot promised equality and inequality would be eliminated. 3 million. A Mountain of Skulls. There was a movie about that one. So my friends, we're in very perilous waters when we have so many ignoramuses who don't even know the dangers of socialism, communism, when carried to their extreme. When you have a president who goes to South America just last week and gives a lecture and says there's little difference between socialism and capitalism, you know what trouble we're in. And that's a result of zero education, as pointed out in Government Zero. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Now a little Bible reading for the Trump supporters out there. Or shall I say the Cruz supporters out there? Or shall I say those who want a little philosophy from religion? It's a short one. On their exodus from Egypt towards Mount Sinai, the Jewish people arrived at an obstacle, the Red Sea. So they divided into four parties. One prepared to fight. One said to surrender and return. One advocated mass suicide. One of the parties began to pray. So God spoke to Moses and said, "Why are you crying out to me? I told you to travel straight ahead. Keep going, and you will see there is no obstacle." Well, the Jewish people kept going, and the obstacle became a miracle. It was a little self-help book, right? And then another question was asked of the great thinker. Which is greater, love of God or love of your fellow man? He answered, "Love of your fellow man, for then you are loving that which your beloved loves." So you see, there is wisdom out there. You just got to look for it. I'm reading now from Bringing Heaven Down to Earth on the wisdom of Rabbi Schneerson, a little book that fell out of my cabinet just before the end of the show. I don't know why I'm even reading it to you, because I think politics has its limits. I think all of us are craving much more than a political savior, to be very honest with you. And believe me, I don't see Donald Trump or any man on earth as my savior. I have read all of them. I've read Lao Tzu. I read every one of them. Huxley. Name your greatest philosophers, your most mundane philosophers. And I will tell you, you're not going to find what you're looking for. There's still going to be an emptiness in you. And many of you understand that. And you're looking for your answer in Ted Cruz or Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. And of course they're going to leave you feeling empty, because you're still a prisoner in society's box. And the only way out of that societal box is to go into the spiritual side of your being. I'm not saying go back to the 18th century or the 9th century. I'm not saying go to the mountains of Tibet or go live in an ashram in India, because you can find nirvana right where you're living. That sound a little preachy? Well, it is. Because I think we need a little preachy right now. We need something to draw us away from the ordinary in order to get into the extraordinary part of ourselves. I mean, today I touched on a lot of topics, including artificial intelligence and robots and robotic humans. Many of us perform every day as though we're robots. We work too hard. We worry too much. We don't take care of ourselves in a very robotic manner. Why do we do it? Because we're just fixed on doing things. And we think we're going to find salvation at the end of the road, or light at the end of the tunnel, or a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. But we never do. There is no rainbow. There is no light at the end of the tunnel. There's only the here and now. And I think that many of us need to find out how to be there while being here. And that leads me to what I wanted to say to you a long, long time ago, which is that you're listening to Michael Savage, talk radio host. But inside this talk radio host, there is another being that's about to be born. Stay tuned to find out. Right here on the Savage Nation. A sense of disassociation from people around you?
Not at all. It just seems like they're always one-track minded.
All right. I understand that. Well, most people are. They're on a programmed course in virtually everything. You could see it when they go to a buffet in Las Vegas. Take a look at what they select. What human being is obese would eat dessert at dinner, at a lunch or dinner, except a robot, a mental robot? Who would eat a dessert in a restaurant if they're over the age of 13 without knowing they're going to get diabetes or cancer or a heart attack? Who eats a dessert in this day and age and doesn't know better? That's all. Okay, this is not neither here nor there. KKOH, Reno, Tim, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Yes, it was an R&D with Boeing, and that was 15 years ago. And as far as surveillance goes and AI. And, you know, we've got Predator drones now up at 10,000, 15,000 feet. But there's another on the other end of the spectrum. Since you can now put 30 gigabytes of memory in this, half the size of a postage stamp, don't assume the honeybee that lands on your table is going to be 100% organic.
Bravo, my friend. So why don't we release a hive of such bees on Raqqa?
At $1 million a pop?
No, you mean a little guy like that costs $1 million. So it's cheaper to use Mrs. Smith's son.
Well,
that's why they use Mrs. Smith's son. And they tell him that he's a patriot if he goes out and gets killed for Obama. I see. That's how it works. That makes sense. Just use Mr. Smith's son. Terrific. I'd say it's worth $1 million rather than Mr. Smith's son. I'd rather see the money spent on $1 million a honeybee that can blow itself up in front of a terrorist than one more American soldier die for someone else's war. Frankly, I'm sick of it. That's all. That's a great story. I didn't know they could do that. That tiny? They can make it into a robotic warrior? Holy God, Teddy, I better look. The only reason I know Teddy's not a robot is, let's see, if he doesn't get a bath, he smells. If I leave him in the house too long, he will pee on a curtain. He cries in his sleep. This is why we love our dogs, isn't it? Why do we love our dogs so much? Because we know that they're what, human? They're not human. We know they're alive and real in a world of fake. I mean, we are sanitized, odorized, homogenized, pressurized, right? They're not. They do all the silly things that we would do as children, but we don't do that anymore. That's why we love our pets. Well, I can see that we're moving into another phase of the program. I want to thank Donald Trump for noticing that he does have friends in the media, and I'm pretty clear about it. I never hid it. Why do you think I support Trump? What is in it for me? Answer, America itself. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646.
Some may be more to blame than others for the current climate, but all of us are responsible for reversing it. All too often, there's enormous pressure on journalists to fill the void and feed the beast with instant commentary and Twitter rumors and celebrity gossip and softer stories. Good reporters, like the ones in this room, all too frequently find yourselves caught between competing forces.
The liar-in-chief is lecturing the media that they should dig deeper into things. You hear this? He's complaining about the rise of Trump because he's blaming the media for it. And they don't dig into his background, his using two Air Force Ones, his abuse of power, his sullying the White House, his attacks upon his political enemies domestic, and his soft stance against our true enemies foreign, his inability or unwillingness to name radical Islam as the enemy of the world, and yet he's lecturing the media on they're not digging deep enough. Classic. Hollywood launches movie of Boston Marathon bombing with Mark Wahlberg and John Goodman. Really? I wonder who the perpetrators are going to be. Let's see who the perps will be in this one. Mark Wahlberg and John Goodman in CBS Films and Lionsgate's Patriots Day. The mood of the record by Peter Berg, written by Matt Sharman, blah, 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 blah. Coming in and follow the events leading up to the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing. Will they actually show who the bombers were? Or will they show them as members of a white militia? Will they show any of the reality? Will this film show the Muslims who actually performed the massacre in Boston? Or will they rewrite history again? Well, who will be the bad guys in Mark Wahlberg's Follywood movie? I really can't wait to see the movie. I like Mark Wahlberg in Lone Survivor. I generally think he's on the patriotic side of things. He came up the hard way in Boston. But we don't know anyway the way Hollywood works today. I'll probably watch it. Latest poll, latest schmold. Latest schmoll. Trump and Cruz tied nationally. Whatever that means, I don't know. We don't know. It's a very big thing, Wisconsin. If Trump loses Wisconsin to Cruz, it's a whole new ball game, as they say in Brooklyn. And I don't know what's going to happen. Wisconsin's a very liberal state. And when Scott Walker threw his support behind Cruz, I think that was a huge blow. Although I didn't expect anything different. Why? Because Scott Walker is a member of the established political class. Of course he's going to go with a sitting U.S. senator. He's not going to go with Trump. So that's a commonsensical decision that he made. He's just trying to buy a position inside the Cruz campaign. He knows that Trump probably wouldn't want an establishmentarian if he can avoid him. He wants someone from outside the system. Capitol gunman once yelled he was a prophet of God from House balcony. Illegal alien accused of raping and impregnating girl 12. Federal government to fine schools for not following Michelle Obama's lunch rules. All this and more on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
As the Greek philosopher wrote, it is good to live in interesting times, and I'm very much happy to be living in the most interesting time of my life. I've done an awful lot of things. Some of the most interesting things I've done, you don't know anything about, as when I was an ethnobotanical plant collector in the most remote islands on Earth. No one remembers that. My plant collections are in 7 herbaria around the world. But I'm not known in the world of science. I am known in the world of talk radio. And today the New York Times wrote an interesting article, Donald Trump versus Ted Cruz creates a headache for talk radio hosts, which I've been reading from. And it's worth reading for a number of reasons. One, because there's a picture of me as the featured host. If it had featured any of the other hosts, I wouldn't talk about it. The story itself is worth talking about because it's written very well. It's not that complimentary. I mean, it's a New York Times article. It's written like this. Michael Savage, the radio talk show host in 2007. Long a powerful and potent agitator of right-wing politics, conservative radio hosts are one of the few forces that can sway the opinions of the Trump electorate. And what's interesting about this is that we are called potent agitators. I like that. I find that complimentary because wasn't it old Nancy Pelosi herself last spring who gave a speech at UC Berkeley saying you should all go out there and be disturbers to her left-wing friends? She told all of her left-wingers to go out, you should be disturbers. Well, Nancy ought to give me the key to the city because apparently I'm the most potent disturber in San Francisco right now. And the article reads like this. Even Michael Savage had had enough. As the insults and innuendos over candidates' wives and tabloid reports of suspected affairs dominated the back and forth between Senator Ted Cruz and Donald J. Trump, Mr. Savage, one of the country's most popular conservative radio hosts, thank you, and an ardent supporter of Mr. Trump, drew a red line last week. You can read it yourself. It's a New York Times article. It's all over the blogosphere. And then they talk about the Inquirer story and said what I said on Friday. It says, but by Monday, Mr. Trump and Mr. S. reconciled in a mostly fawning interview with no apology for Mr. Trump, who nevertheless called the Inquirer's allegation that Cruz had affairs garbage. The momentary rupture, however brief, was emblematic. As the fractures in the Republican Party grow deeper by the day over the candidacy of Mr. Trump, conservative talk radio is having its own identity crisis. That's very well put. That's 100% right. Long a powerful and potent agitator of right-wing politics, conservative radio hosts are one of the few forces that can sway the opinions of the Trump electorate. And with Mr. T and Mr. C now tearing each other and the party apart, the biggest names in the field are delicately navigating how to address Mr. T's latest provocations without alienating listeners. Then they quote someone I never heard of, Doug Hay, a Republican strategist who worked for Eric Cantor. He's quite relevant. He's very relevant. I mean, Eric Cantor was thrown out on his toupee. But nevertheless, he's a theorist about what we do. They don't know anything. These people know nothing, which is why they were fired. The rest of the article reads like this. Conservative talk radio is just as divided and conflicted on Mr. T as the Republican electorate. Some advocate, some criticize, and some try to stay neutral, but that is no longer easy. And it goes on. It's well written, and it's about the fractures. But Mr. Trump's candidacy forced the realignment. Mr. Savage routinely has Mr. Trump on his show and decries Cruz as an insider, which is 100% true. Who can argue with me that Cruz is not an insider? I think that's a very fair analysis by me. The reporter quoted me by saying Cruz is an insider. How could you not say Cruz is an insider? He's a senator, for God's sakes. I thought this was this election was about voting for someone who's outside politics. So the reporter says he sees Mr. T as galvanizing disaffected voters who have both powered his strong ratings for decades and have been ignored by previous Republican nominees. Quote, Mr. Savage said in an interview, he's speaking to the demographic of the electorate that has been ignored and castigated. That's what I see. And I guess I could just finish it up and ask you a couple of questions. We can move on. The main thrust of the article is exactly what the headline says, which is, how do we in talk radio navigate this current debacle called the primary season? I will repeat that my producers invited the Cruz people on this show yesterday to give them equal time with Trump, and they didn't even answer. The Cruz people are cowards. Cruz is a coward. Cruz is an insider. Cruz will not face the Savage Nation. Trump is not afraid to face me or you. He's been on the show for years. I've been promised nothing because I've asked for nothing. Why does he come on the show and Cruz doesn't? I had nothing against Cruz to begin with, but the more I've listened to him, the more I doubt him. And the more I doubt him, the more I come to realize he is an insider. He's a senator, for God's sakes. Is Donald Trump a U.S. senator? Has he worked the halls of Congress? Has he established relationships with lobbyists? No, but for Ted Cruz to be where he is as a U.S. senator means he's had to work with Congress and with lobbyists. That's necessarily not a bad thing. Or shall I say, not necessarily a bad thing. But he's worked with lobbyists and senators in order to survive in the U.S. Senator, the U.S. Senate. So that makes him an insider. I mean, by definition, Trump, although he's a rich man, is not a politician, which is why he has popularity amongst the disaffected voter. We want a non-politician in office who has a chance of defeating Hillary Clinton and our worst enemies on the planet. It's that straightforward. The world is speeding forward. The world's in fast forward except for Hillary Clinton, who's stuck in the past. Why she is a candidate is beyond me. Is she fresh and new? We don't know who she is. We have no idea who this woman is. I don't mind a woman. I've long supported women. I come from women. I'm married to a woman. I have a daughter. I have a granddaughter. But what in the world? How can anyone back this person? I look at her and I say, suddenly it's 1991. Here we are again. Again, the scandals, the stink coming out of the White House, what we need again? I love how the liberals are pushing her, saying, well, we've had a black man in the White House now. That was a first. Let's make it a first now for a woman. That's really a great campaign idea, isn't it? That because she's a woman, she's somehow superior to any man who's running. That really makes sense. Because she's not a man, we should vote for her. Yeah, okay, this is how smart the liberals have become. Poll Dem race closest yet. And by the way, the subtext of that one is, she's such a bad candidate that even a used up street hack like Bernie Sanders, a New York 30s socialist from the get-go, is beating her. How is that even possible? Because she's such a damaged candidate. The reason that the Democrat Party destroyed the only other candidate who was a valid candidate, the former U.S. Navy secretary, whose name you forgot, guy was great. He was a true conservative Democrat in the lineage of JFK. He was a man that even conservatives would have crossed over and voted for. Do you know that? They threw him off the stage because he would have beaten Hillary hands down. Jim Webb is a conservative Democrat who loves America, who knows that America's military has been gutted by Obama and will be destroyed by Hillary. Jim Webb would have been a much more viable candidate in the Democrat Party than this New York commie Bernie Sanders. But they got rid of him right away. They dismissed him because he was too big a threat. They figured Bernie Sanders was no threat. But she is such damaged goods that even he is beating her. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not that he inherently is more popular because he's going to give away free stuff. It's that she's so unattractive. I've heard liberals say to me, And they say, oh, no, I hate her. That's what I hear. So it's by default they're going to the Schmendrick. The Schmendrick, the Brooklyn Schmendrick. I eventually want to get to the dangers of Bernie Sanders. I think that he is one of the most dangerous Pied Pipers of communism I've ever seen in my life. If he was a young, foaming radical, as we've had in the country, they wouldn't get anywhere because we know who they are. We've seen them before. There are many, many before him screaming about the revolution and, you know, attacking the middle class. That never worked. So they switched tactics and they went to a more stealthy program. There's a name for it. I have it in several of my books. I don't have to show you how smart I am. And many of you know the names. The Priven this and the that. It's like the Creutzfeldt-Jakob syndrome as far as I'm concerned. To those of you who know the joke, it's no joke to have the Creutzfeldt-Jakob syndrome. Nor is it a joke to have communism come to you in the form of a nice old man. Because it always leads to the same end. Whenever you have a man who thinks that the government or a central bureaucracy can do something better than the private sector, what you have there is socialism. So you don't even know what we're talking about. The average kid comes out of school, they've been told capitalism is evil, anyone who makes money is evil, etc., and that only the government is not evil. Only the government can provide them with things. And so if you're a kid who got a bachelor's degree in some subject or other, that's not a highly focused science or on a road to a law degree or a medical degree or an engineering degree or a degree in something or other that really, you know, requires skill. Of course you'd like an easy, cushy civil service job. Of course you'd like to come out of college and continue your college life. I know an employer who told me something that I would like to share with you. The employer was interviewing people for a job. And most of the people interviewing were high school graduates. And they all got the job. And then she got a college graduate. And he said to her, "You're making me uncomfortable in asking me these questions." And she said, "What do you mean I'm making you uncomfortable?" He said, "I don't like your tone." This is to a woman who was looking to hire him. He said, "You're making me uncomfortable. I don't want to answer your questions. I shouldn't have to answer these questions." And he got up and left in a snit. There's your Bernie Sanders voter. He'd like a cushy civil service job in California for Jerry Brown. He'd like to work for the forestry department without knowing anything about trees. He'd like to go tell men who live in the woods everything about trees. Well, she'd like to get a job in Jerry Brown's agriculture department, California Department of Agriculture, so she can go to talk to a fourth generation, cherry tree farmer and tell him all about cherry trees and how to grow them. This is exactly what happened in the Soviet Union. Know-nothing bureaucrats destroyed the country. And then they blamed the people that they destroyed in destroying the country. And the rest is history. That's Bernie Sanders. Bernie has never done anything in the world except hate. And yet he appeals to the mass of young and civil servants who see that there's an unfair world. They think that there's ever going to be a fair world. Where is there a fair world?
Now, we could turn the clock back on talk radio. It's one of the most magical elements of my show is the ability to turn the clock back to a simpler time in America. But don't call me on it because I'm not interested in it at all, truthfully. Why would I care where you were when Percy Faith's song was big? Do I care? Does anyone really care? No one cares. The world is speeding forward. The world's in fast forward except for Hillary Clinton, who's stuck in the past. Why she is a candidate is beyond me. Is she fresh and new? We don't know who she is. We have no idea who this woman is. I don't mind a woman. I've long supported women. I come from women. I'm married to a woman. I have a daughter. I have a granddaughter. But what in the world, how can anyone back this person? I look at her and I say, suddenly it's 1991. Here we are again. Again, the scandals, the stink coming out of the White House, what we need again? You know, I was thinking about it in bed last night. I started to laugh. The dog thought I was crazy. He dialed 911 with his paw. I said, wait a minute. If Hillary wins, that means Bill will be our first lady? It'll be the first time in history that we have a man as first lady. That's great. What do we start calling him, the first man? That's bizarre. We've never had a first man in the White House. How's that going to work out? It's a crazy idea, but there it is. I love how the liberals are pushing her, saying, well, we've had a black man in the White House now. That was a first. Let's make it a first now for a woman. That's really a great campaign idea, isn't it? That because she's a woman, she's somehow superior to any man who's running. That really makes sense. Because she's not a man, we should vote for her.
Yeah, okay. This is how smart the liberals have become. Poll, Dem race closest yet. And by the way, the subtext of that one is, she's such a bad candidate that even a used-up street hack like Bernie Sanders, a New York 30 socialist from the get-go, is beating her. How is that even possible? Because she's such a damaged candidate. The reason that the Democrat Party destroyed the only other candidate who was a valid candidate, the former U.S. Navy secretary, whose name you forgot, guy was great. He was a true conservative Democrat in the, I say, the lineage of JFK. He was a man that even conservatives would have crossed over and voted for. Do you know that? They threw him off the stage because he would have beaten Hillary hands down. Because you don't even know his name. Because I forgot his name, but I liked him. It's the truth. I'm not going to lie to you. What's his name, Robert? Don't just drink water. Save me here. I forget his name. Jim Webb. Thank you very much, Robert. You just earned your gold star of the day. Jim Webb is a conservative Democrat who loves America, who knows that America's military has been gutted by Obama and will be destroyed by Hillary. Jim Webb would have been a much more viable candidate in the Democrat Party than this New York commie Bernie Sanders. But they got rid of him right away. They dismissed him because he was too big a threat. They figured Bernie Sanders was no threat. But she is such damaged goods that even he is beating her. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not that he inherently is more popular because he's going to give away free stuff. It's that she's so unattractive. I've heard liberals say to me, you know, we talk about the election once in a while. I run into some friends I used to know who I wouldn't be caught dead with. But unfortunately, if I run into them in a shopping mall, I have to talk to them. And they bring up the election, and I say, how could you even vote for her? And they say, oh, no, I hate her. That's what I hear. So it's by default they're going to the Schmendrick. The Schmendrick, the Brooklyn Schmendrick. You heard of the Brooklyn Dodgers? He has a new team called the Brooklyn Schmendricks. It hasn't been formed yet, but they're trying to find the old... All right, so look, this is some of this stuff. We're just wrapping away here on the show. And, you know, you're not talking about the big issues. Up all night chanting Allahu Akbar, 17 Middle Eastern men detained after firing off hundreds of rounds in California, and then released. America being flooded by Cubans, still under that stupid policy passed by Ronald Reagan. I think it was Ronald Reagan who passed it, by the way. That, you know, it was the anti-communist era, which it should still be, but if we were still in the anti-communist era, Obama would be in jail. Everything Obama's doing, by the way, would have been illegal about 30 years ago. It would have been seen as communist infiltration. But in those days, because Cuba was dumping its people out of Cuba, you remember the Mariel Boat invasion? Remember the great Al Pacino movie? What was that movie called? It's still one of my favorite movies, the Scarface. Yeah, but the opening of that movie, under the freeway, how all of the Mariel Boat invasion people were put under a freeway in Miami. And where they went from there, infesting Miami with drugs, kicking off the cocaine wars. It was Fidel who did that to us. So what I'm saying is now all of a sudden we're getting them again, thugs. And the minute they arrive now, they're given, the Cubans are handed cash, food stamps, Social Security by Obama's minions in order to vote Democrat. Why are we still doing that? Well, why are we still allowing Cubans in? Well, what do we need them for? Isn't Ted Cruz enough? Didn't we see enough between him and Rubio? I'm joking. I like the Cuban people. I played Cuban music 100 times on the show, but that doesn't count. The minute you say one word that somehow is, you know, top German journalist admits mainstream media completely fake. We all lie for the CIA. That's on Drudge. What is that about? A German journalist says that the media works for the CIA? Ah, come on. We all lie for the CIA. Who is this nut? Who is that? As Arjun Walia? Oh, Dr. Ulfkott went on public television stating that he was forced to publish the works of intelligence agents under his own name, also adding that noncompliance with these orders would result in him losing his job. That's amazing. He made an appearance on RT News to share these facts. Yeah, I watch RT News. I find it very refreshing. I like the cheap sets. I like the bad dresses, the ill-fitting suits. It reminds me of American television in the 50s. Very cheap sets. Like any minute, I expect a boom to enter the frame, right? And to hit the host in the mouth. It is so amateur, it's pleasant. That's who Larry King is. He wound up where he started. Larry King is on RT television. I was on it. I enjoyed it. I was on it with my last book, Government Zero. I did a Skype interview. I was a big hit. They offered me a job. I said, not ready yet. Panimaish Paruski? No. No, no, non paya. No, no, no panmaish. American and American Germany tries to bring war to the people in Europe to bring war to Russia. This is a point of no return. I'm going, we don't try to bring war to Russia. I'm against that. I like Russia. I like Putin. I want a war with Putin. Only Cruz does, the lunatic. See, this is why I don't like Cruz here. Why don't you support Cruz? Trump is the only one who has it right. Well, let's say Trump and Cruz. Trump said, Putin's a good guy. We need him as an ally against Islamofascism. Bingo, 100% right. Cruz is a maniac. Cruz is saying that Putin's the greatest threat to the world. We need to go to war with him. Now, who would vote for a lunatic like that? Now, why would Cruz, allegedly so brilliant, surrounded by those brilliant people in radio and television, why would he be calling for war against Russia at a time like this? The answer is because he's being advised by the same neocon idiots, and I can name every one of them, who got us into Iraq to begin with. They're still out there, only they're not in government. They've been fired. They're in think tanks, little old think tanks, earning very little money, and they're salivating to be back in government again so they can start up wars. Think of the power they'd have then, having your son go and die for their little neocon war. And Cruz, by the way, represents them. You know, there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. You think that I'm just doing this for effect. I have studied both candidates in great detail, and Cruz is a clear and present danger to our survival, in my estimation. You want me to come off the table on that one? I'm a little neutral on Cruz. I'm not so neutral on Cruz. I think he's a very dangerous candidate, specifically because his foreign policy is that of the neocons under George Bush. By the way, in case you don't know it, check it out. See who his advisors are. But, okay, many of you don't want to hear the details. You're Cruzites. I get it. So you're entitled to it. We live in a free country. Trump versus Cruz creates headache for talk radio hosts. Second story. Breitbart reporter's claim leads to assault charge for Trump campaign manager. That's a made-up story by the Breitbart reporter. As a matter of fact, I suggested at the top of the show that the Trump campaign should bring a lawsuit. Charges against this reporter for assaulting Donald Trump. The problem with that idea is that they'll call Donald Trump a bully if he does it, because all Lewandowski did, if you look at the actual tape, is stop this unknown female from approaching a presidential candidate while Mr. Dumbbell, the Secret Service Dumbbell, stands there like Dick Tracy. Moron stands there. Why? You know, everyone thinks, oh, Secret Service, man. They're the best. Well, they're not the best. The NYPD probably has better bodyguards than the Secret Service. Where'd they get this stiff from? Didn't move a hand. She rushes the crowd, rushes right up to the candidate. So Lewandowski, with his long arm, reaches out and grabs a hand. She could have had a knife, could have had a gun, could have had an explosive vest. How do we know what she had? Why must you assume that he knew who she was? Lewandowski should be given a medal by the U.S. government for protecting the candidate from an unknown female assailant. And I think that they should consider bringing assault charges against her and teach her a good lesson, that she's not above the law. Secondly, Donald Trump had just finished giving a speech. She had every opportunity to ask a question then, but no one called on her. So this maniac narcissist, made for Fox News, leapt at him. That's another story you're not calling on, because you can't see the video while you're listening to talk radio. That's all. Move on. Nothing to see here. Everyone seems to be attacking Trump. Everyone in the government media complex is against him. Spring break in Wisconsin. The Motley Fools are out there. Tie-dyes. Marijuana smoke in the air, anti-war, anti-Trump, anti-American, anti-white. There it is. It's all there. All tied together. The loonies funded by George Soros. They have nothing to do during spring break. I guess Miami is too low. Whatever, wherever they go in Florida is off their radar. I never even went to those beaches during spring break. Who goes to those places? Who goes to those beaches? Robert, when you were a kid, did you go to Miami? I mean, beaches in Florida during spring break? I don't know who goes there. I mean, last night I was bored to death. I was watching YouTube videos. Did you ever get sucked into YouTube for fun when you're bored of television? You have nothing to do with your life? Late at night, I went from hit the history of the Jaguar motor car, because I own two of them, an XKE 1970 and an XK150 Drophead Coupe in 1961, and they're kind of my hobby cars. So I was watching videos on the rebuilding engines, then on the history of Jaguars. Before I knew it, I was watching a show about white trash somewhere in the deep south in a swamp in mud, riding large vehicles, off-road vehicles with tires that are raised up 20 feet off the ground, going through the mud with everyone cheering. I didn't know what I was. I thought I was on from another planet. I saw girls in bikinis rolling in the mud, smoking cigarettes and drinking cans of Bud. I couldn't believe my eyes. I said, people live like this? They roll in mud? They find guys in big trucks with big wheels sexy? I said, wait a minute, what country is this that I'm looking at? It was like called Mud Girls in Okefenokee or something. I don't know where it was. I sent it around to them. It was like an hour long. I couldn't stop watching this thing until I said, I think I'm getting walked. I'm getting sucked into the internet here. What is this? And I said, who do they vote for, these people? Then I said, now imagine if you're a Muslim in America and you hate America to begin with. The only reason you came here is for the freebies and to blow things up. Now you see a video like this. I said, holy God, wow. Interesting having a multi-set of eyes in your head. Very interesting. So you want to take callers? Robert, should I take some callers now? I haven't gotten to the real stories of the day. Daily Caller reporter, that's the same one, videographer, assaulted by NYPD during Occupy protests. That's the same girl, the same maniac. While covering Occupy Wall Street's Day of Action, Daily Caller reporter, that's the same nut who's claiming Trump's guy assaulted her, was struck by NYPD officers as police try to clear Wall Street of protesters. Could you believe this? This is the same girl who tried to assault Donald Trump, and now, because Breitbart, I think, by what I'm reading, fired some slimy people. Oh, if I could ever tell you stories about who got fired, oh my God, you wouldn't believe his background. Oh, I know who he is. He either quit or was fired because he wanted to back this slimy girl, and to Breitbart's credit, they didn't want to back the slimy girl. So this cretinous guy was either fired or quit. Now he's looking for a job. No one wants to hire him because he worked for someone I know very well who's no longer in business. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.